If you haven't opened your Bibles yet, we are in 1 Peter, and we're looking at the first seven verses in chapter 1. I started this new series just last Sunday, and we're calling it Five Reasons to Have Hope in 2022. 2020 and 2021 have been challenging, to say the least, to, I would suspect, each and every one of us at some point during those years. As the prognosticators are looking at 2022, they seem to be calling for another repeat of those last 2 years. But I want to bring what the Lord Jesus has always intended for each of you who are born again. Each of you who are his kids, he wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to be able to walk in this life that is filled with trials, even as Peter points out to us in these first seven verses. Even the people to whom he is writing to are all in the midst of what they call the diaspora. They're being dispersed from Israel and they're traveling all over the Mediterranean world because they're being forced out of Israel due to their faith in the Lord Jesus. And though they are going great distances, the Lord Jesus walks with them and they have every reason to have hope. And I'm going to point out five of those reasons. But before we do so, I want to remind us of a couple of things that we learned last week. That our Heavenly Father, he was thinking deeply with you in mind in eternity past. He knew exactly what he was going to be doing in your life in 2020, 2021, and this new year that we have just embarked upon. And though it has been heartbreaking for many of us, he still calls you and I to understand that his intent in our going into a DPE, a deep personal experience with him, that we adopt in this new year and not just think about as we did last year, each one of us having that gnosko time when we get up in the morning. Gnosko, for you who are new with us, and if you don't haven't had the privilege of studying Greek, the original text of the New Testament was written in common Greek, and gnosko means to know someone, to know them intimately, much like a husband and a wife would be an illustration, knowing one another intimately. This is what Jesus wants for each of his brothers and sisters. This is what Abba intended for us from the moment that we realized who his son was and confessed and repented of our sins and received him into our life, not only as our brother, but as our Redeemer, our wonderful Savior. He wants us to know the Lord as the Lord knows us, very deeply, intimately. And therefore, we should be people who remember the PMS, the PMS in the last letter there? Yes, the PMSA, that we would have a positive mental and spiritual attitude. And that attitude leads to not a platitude, of an attitude of gratitude. He wants us to be able to get up in the morning and be able to greet our mate if we're married, or our roommate, the children too, if they get up at the same time that you do, and be able to have dismissed all the ants in our lives. You know what ANTS stands for? Automatic negative thoughts. Let's say that together. Automatic negative thoughts. Our Lord doesn't want us to get up in the morning and be the Eeyores of the world. He doesn't want you necessarily to be able to get up immediately and be a Tigger. But he does want you to get up and have positive mental, spiritual attitude to begin your day with. Why shouldn't we have such an attitude when you think about it? We have been saved by God's grace that we're going to go into momentarily. So our Lord, if you will adopt that PMSA and remember it, and you will adopt the ant and get rid of those at the beginning of your day, supplementing the ants with the PMSA as you go through the day. And the only way we can do that is to memorize certain things and to put hooks on them. And that's why I've given you the PMSA. That's why we say it over and over again until it is stuck in our hearts. And then our minds can bring it forth early in the morning. We want to be people who are refreshers. We don't want to be those people who are depleters. The Lord raised us up and he gave us, as we are studying through the book of Acts, Barnabas, to be part of the Barnabas clan, if you will, that we become those sons and daughters of the Most High God, that are encouragers. We have every reason to be encouragers, no matter what's happened. This last week, I had to speak into the heart of some really sweet people. And they're hoping to get married. But in the course of discovering, can they get married according to our Lord Jesus, we discovered that one of them could not. The Bible says that this person could not remarry based on the reasons for the divorce that took place. So here I am, wanting to be a PMSA person and to bring encouragement and not be a depleter, but a refresher. So bringing the Lord Jesus in and assuring them of how he has this marvelous plan, even still for the two of them, and how much he loves them, and that he is not sharing these things from 1 Corinthians in chapter 7 and going through and showing them that this isn't Ron being the old boogeyman, but Ron having a very difficult time sharing with them that the Lord says no to this marriage presently. It doesn't mean that they can never get married, but it means presently, and only in Christ's timing can they get married. So I wasn't the refresher I wanted to be. I wanted to be refreshing and not exhausting. And emotionally, they would be exhausted. I don't think they saw me much as an encourager, other than encouraging the truth of our Lord and encourage them in the love of our Lord, even though they were very discouraged. But Jesus wants them to be encouraged, for had they gone forward at this moment and married, then the Lord would not extend his blessing upon their marriage, and they would be very unhappy going forward, knowing that the Lord is not blessing their marriage. The Lord is positive. Satan is negative. The Lord wants to bring positivity through his word because he's all wise. He's all knowing. He is all forgiving. He is always has our best in mind. But sometimes it's hard for us to receive that because we have our own plan. And we don't want him to disrupt it. But it's important that we own the truth that he loves us very much and be able to have an attitude of gratitude even in the midst of something like I've just described or in the midst of having had a surgery and not having it turn out the way one hoped or having a son depart for heaven many years earlier than his dad. Our Lord loves us. And unfortunately, my plans have not always been his. Someone once said, if you want to hear the Lord laugh, tell him your plans. On page 2 of your message notes, I want you to, going forward into this new year, I want you to receive this, to own it, and to believe it. We went through it carefully last Sunday, and that is, these are things I am asking you to be in the coming year, every day. If you would get up in the morning, and once you can stand looking at yourself in that mirror, go through this acrostic. At night, when you're getting ready to go to bed, and you're brushing your teeth, and you look in that mirror, or you're putting that serum all over your face for thinking you're going to put concrete in those cracks and no one's ever going to notice them. Go through this acrostic as you're looking in the mirror when you get up and when you go to bed. And it's the B, hope. It is the B, H, hopeful. It is the B, O, B, optimistic. It is to be P, positive. It is to be E, encouraged or an encourager in 2022. Be these things. If you say these things to yourself in the morning as you're getting up, then someone like my wife, who is the sunshine during the rain, I mean, she gets up in the morning and it's good morning, Ron, for 52 years. Good morning, Ron. And she knows until just recently, I have been saying good morning. Did I mean it? I use voice within tonal reflections that say, yes, I mean it. Or at least I hope to mean it later. But be hopeful, be optimistic, be positive, and be encouraging. Let's say that together. Let's be hopeful, optimistic, positive, and encouraging. Now, I'm not one of those, you know, name it and claim it preachers, but I am talking about what Jesus has always intended you and me to be examples of him. We have every reason to be hopeful, every reason to be positive, and to be positive and to be encouraged, because we are sons of the Most High God, and we are daughters of the Most High God. We are the, I don't believe in luck, but the I don't know another word to use. We are the most fortunate people on the face of the earth. And therefore, this acrostic can fit in your life. And trust me in this. If you repeat it over and over, it's funny. You see, your focus is on that. And where your focus goes, your energy flows. And so Kathy gets an honest when she says good morning to me. I say good morning back. In the past, I used to go, if that, you know. But now she has a partner in this, up to a point. So be hopeful. Five unshakable truths. The first unshakable truth, here's your fill-in. Father God chose us before we chose him. We're looking at some deep theology as we move through these five truths that the Holy Spirit has asked the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. I want to share with you from my devotions, my Gnosko time this past week. This isn't in your notes, but you might want to write it down because the Lord is going to speak it to you in just a moment. In Psalm 94:19, the psalmist says this, and the psalmist, as we know, is under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. God was speaking to him, and the psalmist is speaking to us. Therefore, God the Holy Spirit's very words that are alive and active are speaking to you as he spoke to me in the morning last week. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. The Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning, you may have had doubts this week. You may have doubts this morning about something. But continue to go and meet with Jesus in your deep personal experience time, and he will comfort you. You will sense it coming to you. I don't want to belabor our sons leaving us and going to be with the Lord. But some of you have been thinking about what would it be like for me as a mom or a dad? Had my son been killed in the military? Had my son been killed like Fernando this last week as a law enforcement officer? How would I feel if my child, my daughter, was in a traffic accident and ripped away from me? There was no news beforehand. I had no plan that this was going to happen. I'm the one that's going to go to the grave before my son. But that wasn't the case. How would you feel? The Lord has come to Kathy and he has come to me during these very personal times that we get to spend with him. And he has renewed our hope. Our hope in Jesus, our hope that Ronnie is with him because Ronnie professed and received the Lord Jesus Christ into his life as his Master and Savior. Our hope is assured. It's not a hope that goes, oh boy, I really hope so. It is an assured hope. I'll get to see my son. Kathy will get to see this boy, little boy that she bore again one day, but in heaven. And we have every reason now to have our hope renewed. We have reason to be optimistic. We have reason to be positive. We have every reason to be encouraged, even though we miss him terribly. But we can cheer. When doubt fills your mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. And then in Psalm 39, verse 7, the Lord spoke to me, and he says to you right now, this morning, "And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you." That's where my hope is. My eternal hope is in you, your promises, your love for me, for my family, your love for my church family. Lord, where do I put my hope? I put my hope in you. So memorize that acrostic and remember the truth of the matter here is that Father God chose us before we chose him. This should put a smile on your face, should make you happy. Abba chose you. He gave you his gift of grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. He gave this to you because he wanted to. Was it because you deserved it? I'd like to say, okay, but you didn't deserve it. I did, but you didn't. Not true. None of us deserve his unmerited favor. He gives it to us because he wanted to. Peter tells us, as you look at your notes, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. And his Spirit has made you holy. He has sanctified you. You are the hagios of God. You are his, as you've heard me say in times past, you are his prized possessions. You are part of his royal priesthood. You are very special, not only to him, but to the people of this world as his priests. And you're part of a holy nation that he has formed. And it isn't America. His holy nation is where his people, when they come to faith, are placed into. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your cleansing, your removal of sin is complete. It is total. When he said tetelestai on the cross, he said it is completion. Your sins, when you have responded to his grace through faith, these wonderful gifts, as you've responded and received him, the Lord Jesus, as your Lord and as your Redeemer, with that, you became the children of God. He made you his brothers and sisters. Do you understand that, family, deep in your own hearts and minds? As you think about the acrostic of hope, you are a brother or a sister to the Lord Jesus. And because you're his brother and sister, you know that Abba, Father, he has chosen to adopt you as his sons and daughters into his family. You are in the Lamb's book of life, and you will never be removed from it. You have this eternal hope. This reason, knowing that he chose you before you chose him, every reason to be hopeful, optimistic, positive, and encouraged. Don't let those things that the devil will bring up or one of his minions to make you reflect backwards, to look in the rear view mirror and let that affect you as you go forward. What's in the past is in the past. The one thing, if you want to remember something in the past, is that it was there that he saved my soul and I became part of his family. Peter is saying you were chosen according to the purpose of God, our Father. Look at the fact there. Here's your fill-in. Long before you chose Jesus, he chose you. Your salvation was his idea. Your salvation was his idea. Jesus took the initiative. He came after you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, even as he, God the Father, chose us in him, the Lord Jesus, before the foundation of the world, way back in eternity past, God the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. As you read in Ephesians chapter 2 and look at 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, he created you for good works. He created you for things that you will be doing. But he did it way back in eternity past. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, sanctified, and blameless before him. He began a work in you, as we see in the book, the letter written to the Philippian church family. He began a work in you in chapter 1, verse 6, that he is in the process, the sanctification process of working out in you. You are becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus, especially as we are obeying, living out the Word of God in our lives, such as being hopeful and optimistic and positive and encouraging, understanding that he chose us before we chose him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love, in agape, in seeking your best and our highest good, at Jesus' expense, in love, he, God our Father, predestined, he predetermined in eternity past, he predetermined us for adoption to himself as sons, and if I can add, daughters, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of Ron's will. Is that what it says? According to the purpose of his will, not ours. His will, to the praise of his glorious grace. This is why he predestined us. This is why he elected us. He wants us to give him praise for this great and awesome salvation that has been provided through the beloved, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glory, glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, Jesus' blood. The forgiveness of our sins comes through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, according to the riches of God's marvelous grace, this unmerited favor we don't deserve. yet he chose you to be his daughters and his sons. And you were chosen for his purpose to make you holy and get you ready for heaven. But not only for heaven, he wants you to draw near to him right now. I hope that when you came in this morning and you said your good mornings to one another, but when you transitioned to the musical prayers, that your focus moved from those around you, but your focus went to him to whom we came to worship this morning. And that our focus is there and on the good news of his message to us, of a promise that he has made, and a reasons, many reasons, for us to go forward into the year 2022 and to be able to do so with hope and optimism and a positive attitude, a positive mental, spiritual attitude that's filled with gratitude toward the Lord Jesus. He wants you to draw near to him right now, today, in this very moment. And I hope that that took place when we entered into those musical prayers, that you sense the warmth of his presence with you, where you are, through the reading of the word this morning, through the teaching of this wonderful passage thus far, you're receiving this hope into your life to help you to be able to dismiss the negatives, because you have every reason to be hopeful. We all know what it's like to feel chosen. When I was a kid, when I was growing up in the neighborhood, we had lots of kids. We were all the baby boomers. You know, our dads had all come back from World War II, and they got busy having families. And I don't honestly understand why, but from the time I was a little kid, I would be like the captain of one of the teams in the neighborhood, whatever sport we were playing. But we would divide up all the kids that wanted to come down and play baseball or football or whatever else we were playing, cops and robbers, etc. But there were teams. And so I would choose Chris, and then that person would choose Brian, and then I would choose Kelly, and someone would choose someone. Well, you have all these kids, right? And they're being chosen. But then you're down to the last one or two. And how do they feel? They feel like dirt, because they're the last to get chosen. To be chosen, to be on a team, is such a wonderful thing to take place, even if you're one of the last ones. To be chosen to play first string football, to be chosen and to become captain of the swimming team, to be chosen and to become captain of the cross-country team, to receive these awards and accolades. You were chosen, and you feel really good about that. When you're chosen to go into a particular career, when I was chosen to go on the Manhattan Beach Police Department, when I was chosen to go on the Santa Monica Police Department, when I was chosen to become a Los Angeles police officer, those were all exhilarating things. when I was chosen by Kathy to be her husband. Boy, did she make a mistake, but boy, did I feel good. When she said yes, out there on that lawn, I was the most fortunate man in the world. But as I've thought about all these things about being chosen, and to know what not a great deal Kathy was getting, to think that Jesus chose me to be his brother, that he chose me to go on the cross and die for me, that he would choose me in spite of all of my millions of imperfections. Now that's something. To be chosen to do all kinds of things, those things were very special. But the most special thing for me, and for, I believe, anyone who really sits down and thinks what their salvation has provided them, the best thing in all the world was to be chosen by Abba Father to be part of his family. And in doing so, many of us, we lose our hope. Why? In Ron's case, it's because he's selfish. In Ron's case, it's because he's self-promoting. In Ron's case, it's because he thinks, but he knows better that he knows better than God, and therefore his plans should be the ones that God honors and says, that's exactly the way things are going to be, Ron. You know more than me. No. Ron needed to spend more gnosko time, more deep personal experiential time with the Lord Jesus. It is annoying him that he won't let anything come into my life that he doesn't already know about, and that he believes that for me, it is important that it comes that I learn whatever it is he wants me to know. No matter how grand it is, or no matter how hurtful, humanly speaking, it may be. He loves me. And he has spoken to me time and again as to how much he loves you. He's crazy about you. There is no one who loves you more than him. And he wants you to hold on to this fact. He chose you because he wanted to. Warts and all. Get it? Good. We'll come to the second truth next time. Abba, thank you so very much again for telling us that we can have and that you will help us to manifest a positive mental, spiritual attitude. Thank you for reminding us time and again, early this morning and last week as well. We have every reason to be able to manifest to people who are hurting our attitude of gratitude. Because as you pointed out last week to us, you have designed us for accomplishment as we go forward into the year 2022. There are things that you want us as individuals and us as a church family to accomplish in this new year. You have engineered each and every one of your kids for success at accomplishing the things that you have decided in your plan for our church family and for each of us. We will have success in accomplishing them as we bring the Holy Spirit into our life each morning and ask Him to refresh us throughout each day. Thank you for having endowed us with the seeds of greatness, not greatness in and of ourselves, but the very greatness of your Son, the Lord Jesus, that you have shared many of His attributes with each and every one of us. We call them the fruit of the Spirit. But we have this marvelous love that is not withdrawn even when we fail or sin, but that you love us unconditionally, and that love is to be manifested through me towards my wife, towards my children, my grandchildren, towards the men I serve with in the Elders' Council, the people that make up our church family, even those who listen to your bidding and then disobey you. You still love these people who disobey, even if as I have disobeyed in the past, and I am too. Love people with this unconditional love. But I can only do these things with your help. In my flesh, it's not possible. So I thank you. I thank you for your presence with us this morning. Thank you very much for inhabiting the praises of your people this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit speaking to some of us very clearly and deliberately this morning and calling us to be obedient and to follow you in a righteous way. So it's in the power of your Son that has been given us, Father, that I make this prayer. And it is in your power, Father, that I ask you to speak each day into each of our hearts and convict us, if necessary, in love, to start doing those things that are pleasing to you and not to ourselves, unless we just find that it is such a joy, and it is, to do as you have commanded. For it's in Christ we pray, Father. Amen.